Did you know that you can slow, stop, or even reverse the progression of early prostate cancer? Today's guest did the research and found out how. And did you know that you can clear blocked arteries and reverse heart disease? Today's guest did that research too and found out how. And you can reverse the aging process. You guessed it. Today's guest has researched that also. Stand by, Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Our guest today is Dr. Dean Ornish, who, through 35 years of research, has changed our understanding of healthcare. As a highly published author, he has effectively disseminated his pioneering findings around the world through books and media. Before you meet Dr. Ornish, I want you to meet David Miller, a man with a strong desire to extend his life, and he found the secret.
My mother died at 51. Her father died at 51 of the same condition. My father died at 58 from drinking and smoking, emphysema. So I felt that I wasn't going to be around that long. But I just put these planters in last year. I've got a little bit of a winter garden growing over there. Got some lettuce and kale.
I always look for worms, because once I see the worms, I know the garden's going to be successful.
I used to eat ham, pork, shellfish, abalone being my favorite. I was lethargic. I was tired a lot. Just didn't feel good. My mental outlook was more down than up. Heartburn. I had that constantly. And then I had a lot of weight that I was packing around.
This is kale, and everything that I planted this year all came from seeds. This is going to be head lettuce here, and this is just regular table.
The greatest thing that happened to me, I feel, was when I met my wife, Ruth. She introduced me to Seventh-day Adventist and a way of eating. And as I got older, I wanted to change the fact that I might die at a young age.
And I don't blame him. In a moment, I want to introduce you to Dr. Dean Ornish, named one of the 50 most influential members of his generation by Life magazine. But first, the news. In the headlines today, the fish oil debate heats up, sweet tooth could kill, and now caffeine in food. Considerable controversy surrounds recent findings regarding the use of fish oil and omega-3 fatty acid supplementation. Many studies support the intake of fish and fish oil for heart health. However, a recent review of 20 studies involving almost 70,000 people concluded that omega-3 supplementation is, in fact, not associated with a lower risk of all-cause mortality, cardiac death, heart attacks, or strokes. And in another study, men with the highest blood levels of fishy omega-3 fatty acids seem to have a 40% increased risk for prostate cancer compared to those with the lowest levels. Since omega-3s are good for the brain and the immune system, why not get them from non-fish sources like flaxseed, chia, walnuts, and spinach? People who get at least a quarter of their calories from added sugar are almost three times more likely to die of heart disease than those that get the least. Researchers reviewed the National Health Survey data, including dietary inflammation, along with death data. They found that sugar was a significant risk factor, even after taking into account smoking, inactivity, and excess weight. So if you are normal weight, don't smoke, you're physically active but getting more than 15% of your calories from sugar, you've increased your risk of heart disease by as much as 20%. Two out of every three children ages 2 to 5 ingest caffeine on any given day, and three quarters of those aged 2 to 22 do so. These are the findings of a recent study. The main source of caffeine for preschoolers was found to be tea. For teens, it's soda. And for 19 to 20-year-olds, it's coffee. Soda consumption is down. Coffee and energy drinks are up, meaning that overall caffeine intake has remained the same from 1999 to 2010. But that means there's been no decrease either, despite the American Academy of Pediatrics stating that stimulant-containing energy drinks have no place in the diets of children and adolescents. The FDA is concerned that despite a lack of studies showing caffeine safety in kids, a growing number of foods now have added caffeine, including waffles, jelly beans, gum, and processed nuts. Remember, caffeine increases the heart rate, blood pressure, hyperactivity, and anxiety in adults. Who knows what it does in kids? I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Health News. Dr. Dean Ornish is a clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. We met for this interview at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine's annual meeting in Virginia. He was the first to prove that even severe coronary heart disease may be reversed by comprehensive lifestyle changes. I asked him about the findings of some of his earliest research.
We found for the first time that lifestyle changes alone can not only help prevent, but actually reverse the progression of even severe heart disease. That was actually the third study in a series. The first one began in 1977, the second one in 1980, and the third, the most definitive, the Lifestyle Heart Trial, came out about 23 years ago. And I think these findings are giving many people new hope and new choices that we didn't have before.
Mm. Now, what did the lifestyle group or the experimental group have to do to modify?
Right. It takes a lot more to reverse heart disease than to help prevent it. That's why we were the first to show that, is that other studies didn't really go far enough. So this had four components. It was a whole foods, plant-based diet, predominantly fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and soy products, moderate exercise, walking a half an hour a day, various stress management techniques derived from yoga and meditation, and more social support, more love and intimacy.
Hmm. Now, not many studies have added that fourth component. Why did you feel that was important?
Well, we kind of stumbled into that. The support group was really originally designed to help people stay on the other parts of the program, you know, exchanging recipes and shopping tips and types of running shoes and so on. But what I realized, we kind of unwittingly created a real sense of community, a place that felt safe enough for people to talk about what was really going on in their lives. And it turns out that's really the most meaningful part of what we do, because that need for connection and community is a really primal human need that unfortunately in modern society doesn't often get met. And so by creating a safe place for people to really connect in a deeper way, it made the other parts of the program much more sustainable.
Hmm.
Pardon me.
Now, the Lifestyle Heart Trial came out around 1990, mm-hmm. but even today, insurance companies are not embracing this modality, yet it's the only one that reverses heart disease.
Actually, they are now, because after 16 years of review, Medicare agreed to cover our program as a Dr. Dean Ornish's program for reversing heart disease. They even set up a new benefit category called intensive cardiac rehabilitation around our program. And because Medicare is paying for it, most other insurance companies are doing so as well. And they're paying for 72 hours of training, which we break up into generally 18 four-hour sessions. And then beginning in January, they'll be paying for more than $100 an hour. And so what this means is that it's financially sustainable for doctors to provide our program to people. And so we've really been deluged by requests from thousands and thousands of hospitals and clinics and doctors to be training. And now via a company called Healthways, we are training and certifying them all across the country now.
In 2011, Medicare began covering the costs for patients with coronary heart disease to do Dr. Ornish's Reversing Heart Disease program. Other insurers have also seen the value and are covering the cost for his Spectrum Prevention Program too. I'm sure the costs are far less than the high-tech interventional cardiology and vascular treatment options. There's nothing quite like eating your way to health, especially eating the ice cream I'm about to show you after the break. Morning, honey. Would you like a glass of water?
Oh, no. Get me a cup of coffee or the jumper cables. I need something to wake me up with.
I think you've got a problem with caffeine.
I don't have a problem with caffeine. I have a problem without it.
That's my point.
What do you mean?
Well, people who feel low and anxious until they get their caffeine fix each morning are low and anxious because they're having caffeine withdrawal.
No, I don't believe that. Not for a minute.
Ah. don't be so sure. People with mental health issues who break the caffeine addiction find their mental health issues go away with no other treatment.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding. Caffeine addiction is a major problem in society today.
And I suppose you're going to tell me that my stomach problems are associated with all the coffee that I drink?
Caffeine causes gastric reflux, constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, and it irritates the kidneys so that you're off to the bathroom all day. It also damages cells, like causing kidney cancer, bladder cancer. It even can change the sex cells.
So what happens when the sex cells are changed?
Well, conception becomes a problem. Women who drink one or more cups of coffee a day find that they are less fertile. They even find it five times harder to get pregnant.
But what about all the benefits they touted about coffee, that it's got all these antioxidants in it?
Every social drug has its proponents that applaud its singular benefits.
So what do you mean?
Well, we hear the antioxidant story over and over. But you know, we never hear about the adverse effects. They never get a mention.
So are you saying there are other adverse effects to caffeine that we haven't talked about?
If I think about pregnancy alone, there's increased risk of prematurity, neuromuscular delay for the baby, lower birth weight, the withdrawal from caffeine when baby's born, and unfortunately, a higher risk of crib death.
Oh, wow, that's sad.
It is sad. So break the habit. You'll be so glad you did. Doctor's orders.
There is a garden in every childhood, an enchanted place where colors are brighter, the air softer, and the morning more fragrant than ever.
Of all life's seasons, childhood is the most beautiful.
Children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see.
Blessed indeed is the man who hears many gentle voices call him Father.
A child can ask 1,000 questions that the wisest man cannot answer.
When I approach a child, I have two thoughts: affection for what he is today and respect for what he can become.
There are no 7 wonders of the world in the eyes of a child. There are 7 million.
Children are 1/3 of our population and all of our future.
He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
As for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice.
Today in Go Healthy's kitchen, we are going to make something really special. We're going to make Very Berry ice cream. You know, ice cream traditionally is full of bad fats, cholesterol, chemicals that you really, if you had the choice, probably wouldn't put in your body. But we're going to make ice cream today that is really simple and healthy. No cholesterol, no fat, but it's really yummy. And joining me now is Delmas. Delmas, you picked a great day to come to the studio because we're making ice cream.
Okay.
Do you like ice cream?
Yes.
What's your favorite flavor?
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Well, you'll be very easy to please when we make this ice cream. Today in our ice cream, all we need are frozen bananas and frozen berries. We're going to have about 4 bananas and about a cup of frozen berries. But you can mix and match this. So if you were having vanilla, you'd probably just put a little spot of vanilla essence and do the bananas. But we're going to make berry ice cream. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. You throw that machine on for us.
Yeah.
Lift this out. Folks, that's how easy it is. Just you can use frozen mangoes, frozen peaches, frozen berries, anything really. And it just comes out looking just like ice cream. You can mix that up. I like making chocolate ice cream by putting carob and perhaps carob chips in there. And you don't even need the cocoa. All right. Well, this looks ready to eat. Come on over, Delmas.
Okay.
No, this is ice cream directly from the creator's hand. You don't get better than this. All right. Do you want to pop that back over there? Wonderful. And we might just decorate it with a berry on top. There you go.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to see what Delmas thinks of this. You like that?
Yes.
Great. I can't resist it myself. Mmm. That is so yummy and creamy. Now, you don't need to have a special machine. You can even do this in a blender and then pop it back in the freezer to just crispen it up. Now, it doesn't keep very long in the freezer. We are going to have to eat this today, but I don't think we're going to have a problem with that. Thanks, Delmas.
You're welcome.
The battle of the bulge happens for many of us as we try to shed extra pounds. One way to win is to adopt a total vegetarian or vegan diet. A recent Adventist health study found that the more closely a person consumed a total vegetarian diet, the closer they were to their ideal weight. So each step you take towards a total vegetarian diet will give you an advantage in the battle. A total vegetarian diet is another ageless advantage.
David shares with us the quality of life that comes from lifestyle change. Watch this.
I just have a zest for life that I hadn't had for a long time. I look forward to every day. In fact, every morning I tell the Lord good morning and thanks for such a beautiful day, and off we go. You know, I've had my physical difficulties, and the one way that I can beat it is to stay busy, stay active. I certainly don't want to be a couch potato. I weighed as much as 218 pounds at one time, which is way too much for my size. I was on blood thinners several years back, and I have no need of those. I'm healthy. But I think the biggest thing is in my life, the change was learning to eat the right foods, because I used to eat all the wrong things. And even though you hear rumors that they're the wrong things, you really don't pay much attention until you
start reading the Bible and getting involved, and then you realize that you're a temple, and you don't want to abuse it. And that's what I had been doing for years. I was on the medication, the blood thinners, and since I changed my diet and eliminated those foods that you shouldn't be eating, I no longer take any medication at all. And I certainly feel better as far as physically and as far as mentally. It's hard to just being eating what you want, then all of a sudden, boom, you change. But my mindset, my attitude was entirely different. I knew that's what it was going to take to change my life, and I did it. But we're looking forward to having all the fruit and the vegetables, and for the last 10 years, I have a sign out front that says, persimmons, 10 for a dollar, which is ridiculous, but it beats me having to clean them up if they get squishy on the dirt out here. That way, the people take them, plus they enjoy them, they use them. When I changed my diet, my blood pressure came down steadily. My weight came down steadily. I had more energy. I enjoyed life a lot more, and I still do. It's almost 3/4 acre, and somebody's got to do it, and I'm not ready to relinquish it just yet.
And besides, he's now too healthy to relinquish that beautiful acreage. Dr. Dean Ornish is our very special guest today. Forbes magazine voted him one of the 7 most powerful teachers in the world, and he still has lots to teach us today. I asked him why someone with an elevated cholesterol wouldn't just start a statin drug and avoid making all those lifestyle changes, which is actually what most people do to take the drug.
Well, first of all, statin drugs, like all drugs, have costs and side effects. In fact, at the time that Lipitor was the last year before it became a generic, it was $13 billion a year just for this one pill. That's a lot of money. And we can accomplish the same goals in terms of the level of reduction in cholesterol simply by changing diet and lifestyle at a fraction of the cost, and the only side effects are good ones. So for people who don't want to change their lifestyle, I think that drugs have benefit, but even better is to accomplish the same goal through lifestyle changes alone.
Now, many people would argue that lifestyle change is not sustained, but can I ask you, how many people sustain the use of, say, a statin drug?
Well, that's the thing. The conventional wisdom is taking a pill is easy, everyone will do it. Changing diet and lifestyle is difficult, if not impossible, and most people won't do it. But the data actually show the opposite. Only about 30% of people who were prescribed cholesterol-lowering drugs were taking them just 3 or 4 months later, even if someone else pays for them, even if they don't have side effects. And yet our data are showing 85 to 90% adherence to our program after a year in some of the most challenging parts of the country. And the reason is that the statin drugs, in a way, are fear-based. Take this pill. It's not going to make you feel better. Hopefully it won't make you feel worse. To prevent something really awful like a heart attack or a stroke years down the road that you don't want to think about, so people don't. But when you change your lifestyle, most people find that because these biological mechanisms are so dynamic, most people find that they feel so much better so quickly, it reframes the reason for changing from fear of dying, which is not sustainable, to joy of living, which is. The chest pain goes away. You think more clearly. You have more energy. You need less sleep. You feel so much better that for many people, these are choices worth making, and therefore they're sustainable.
So you're turning the argument for lifestyle change on its head by saying, don't look at what will happen to you, the bad things that will happen to you. You're saying, hey, try it. It's going to do good things.
That's right, because fear is not a sustainable motivator in politics or in lifestyle or in anything. But joy is, pleasure is, freedom is. And when you make these changes, most people find they feel so much better so quickly, it reframes the reason for making the changes from fear, which is not sustainable, to joy and pleasure and freedom, which are.
Now, the Ornish diet was rated number 1 for heart health by U.S. News and World Report for the last 2 years.
3 years, actually.
3 years.
In fact, they only started rating them 3 years ago, ever since they started.
So you've cleaned them up. What
well,
is the Ornish diet? Yes. What is the Ornish diet?
Well, the Ornish diet for reversing heart disease is predominantly a plant-based diet. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, soy products in their natural forms. But there's a spectrum of choices for people who aren't already sick. And it's based on the observation in all of our studies that the more people change, the more they improve at any age. And so you decide how much to change, how many things, how quickly. So you decide how much change in your diet. So in my book, The Spectrum, I simply categorize foods from the most helpful, group one, to the least helpful, group five, and say what matters most is your overall way of eating and living. So if you indulge yourself one day, eat healthier the next. There's no diet to get on, so there's no diet to get off. What matters most is your overall way of eating and living. And the same is true for the other parts of the program. If you don't exercise one day, do a little more the next. If you don't have time to meditate for an hour, do it for a minute. Whatever you do, there's a corresponding benefit. And then it comes out of your experiences, like, oh, when I do this, I feel good. When I do that, I don't feel so good. So maybe I'll do more of this and less of that. And then it makes it sustainable because you can't fail. There's no diet to get on, so there's no diet to get off. Diets are all about what you can't have and what you must do. And I just find that even more than being healthy, most people want to feel free, and this way they're free.
So there's nothing complex about the Ornish diet. It's actually fundamentally quite simple, isn't it?
All of this is very simple. You know, it doesn't require any special equipment. It's easy to learn. And the more you do it, the more you improve at any age. So you decide how much to change, how quickly, how many things. We support that degree of change and we track it. And if that degree is enough to accomplish your goals, great. If not, you can do more.
So it's being strategic and starting down the road.
Correct.
Some of your research is so complex and others is really basic. I love the pomegranate juice study. Tell us about that.
We did a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study to see if pomegranate juice would be helpful for people with heart disease. And we found that it was, that after just 8 weeks, the people who drank the pomegranate juice had improved blood flow to the heart.
How much were they drinking?
They were just drinking one glass a day, 1 8-ounce glass a day. And so there's, you know, pomegranate juice, pomegranates have been around since the Bible. And there's an increasing body of literature showing that they actually have a lot of benefits. And so, you know, we tend to think of advances in medicine as being a new drug or laser, something really high-tech, expensive. And these simple choices that we make in our lives each day really have a lot of impact. And the benefits can occur much more quickly than we had once realized.
Very powerful. Now, exercise. Your experimental groups are doing 30 minutes a day, did you say?
Yeah, just walking a half hour a day or an hour three times a week provides most of the health benefits of more intensive exercise while minimizing the risks. It doesn't even have to be all at once or even all that fast. So a little goes a long way. And if you can incorporate that into your daily life, you know, take the stairs a couple of flights or, you know, park a little bit farther away so you don't have to worry that you can't find a parking place and just walk a little farther. Little things like that can really add up.
After the break, I'll be discussing with Dr. Ornish his outstanding research with prostate cancer. No man is an island, and when Jesus was on earth, he was no island either. In fact, he gathered a group of 12 men around him. They would be with him day and night for the next 3.5 years. Yes, he was training them, but he also relied on them for love and support. On the night before his death, he brought them together for a special meal. Before eating, he showed how much he loved them and valued them by washing their feet. And during the meal, his closest friend, John, leaned on his shoulder. A few hours later, as Jesus began the final struggle with darkness, he pleaded with his friends to stay close by and pray for him. What does that tell us? We need human love and support. If we have it, we thrive. And if we don't have it, there's more illness and we die sooner. We are hardwired for a strong desire for friendship, companionship, and the need to belong. Are you nurturing your close relationships, making time for those you love, so that you can support each other through the challenges that life inevitably brings? In the interests of health and wholeness, I hope so.
You know, I never really liked taking out the trash. I mean, who likes taking out the trash anyway? I mean, it smells and you're always amazed at how quickly it accumulates. And worse yet, if you forget to take the trash out for the garbage truck to pick it up 1 week, you've got to sit with that trash for an entire week. And then by the next week, when that garbage truck comes to take that trash, you've accumulated even more smelly trash. But oh, the relief when that garbage man comes and takes that trash away. You know, in life, we accumulate a lot of trash, don't we? The trash of lies, lust, guilt, shame, and past mistakes that weigh us down. Did you know that someone paid the supreme price for your sins? His name is Jesus. And he took the trash of your sins and he placed it upon himself, and he died the death that you and I deserved. But then 3 days later, He rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. Today he offers you, in place of your trash, his gift of grace and forgiveness. I accepted this gift when I was 12 years old. And I found that after you accept this gift, he begins to live in you his life of righteousness. And then you begin to experience peace and joy. So why don't you give him your trash?
Welcome back. Hey, Sean, good to see you.
How you doing?
Good.
How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm ready to get going.
Ready to move.
It's time for you to participate as well. So get off the sofa. What have you got for us?
Okay, so now that you're off the sofa, we're going to use some dumbbells today. Very simple, three exercises to kind of work your legs and your upper body. But first, you know, we got to get warmed up, right?
We do.
So always a dynamic exercise to get the body, get the blood flowing. We're going to do a simple alternating toe touch. Hands up. Take a nice deep breath. Okay, get used to getting the carbon dioxide out, oxygen in. In 3, 2, 1, go. 1, going to 4, 2, 3, last one, and 4. You out there, you can go a little bit longer, say about 30 seconds, okay? What we're gonna do the first exercise, we're gonna grab the dumbbells here. This is a combination exercise, and when you're working out in the gym or in the park or wherever, you wanna maximize your time, okay? So
absolutely.
Combination exercise using your biceps and your legs. You burn more calories, you have a little bit more fun, okay?
Mm.
So we're gonna do what you call a reverse lunge with a bicep curl, okay? Back here, all right? When you come back up, you're gonna press up to the sky, okay? Just that leg, all right? Bicep curl,
ooh.
Yep, and press
I'm
up.
I'm cheating.
Yes, you are, okay? Go here. When you stand back up, press, okay? Go back. And press. This is gonna take some brain work, all right? It's gonna take the brain working a little bit, but that's what it's all about, right? Having a little bit of fun, working your biceps and your shoulder. Go for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, alternating legs, or you can stick with one leg at a time.
Yeah, that might be easier for the brain.
Absolutely. So now that we worked the legs, we worked some of the bicep, let's superset it. We did a reverse lunge where the body's not used to going in reverse. All right, so we're gonna put the weight here and we're just gonna do a simple lunge forward, okay? Alternating going forward, okay? The weight on your shoulder, I'm gonna have you continue doing it. The weight on the shoulder is just adding more resistance to your quads, okay? Your goal here is to work those legs. So supersetting is a great way to burn calories and have some fun, okay?
Excellent.
All right, again, 30 to 45 seconds.
So do this by time. Rather than by the number of reps.
Yeah.
It makes it easy to count it.
It does. But if you get into the habit of counting how many reps you do, next time you do it, you can kind of compete with yourself or someone else to see how much you can do in that allotted
of
time. Yep.
Hmm.
So the third one, since we've been working the legs, you could drop the weight for now. We're going to do a squat working the outside of the leg, okay? So we're going to squat down and just bring your right leg to the side. It's a lift, okay? So squat down and lift it to the side. Keeping that belly button in towards the spine, squat down. So again, you keep on going. You're working that quadricep, which is right in the front, but you're also working your abductor muscles, okay? Abductor meaning you're taking the legs away. Adductor, ADD, is putting the legs together, okay? So you may see people on the machines going like this. Well, we're simulating that in a squat, okay?
Right.
So this is a great exercise. Again, go for about 30 to 45 seconds. Challenge yourself, and if you feel good, you can always put the weight back in your hand and continue doing the same exercise. Here it is, okay? Adding that leg lift, not a kick, you know, you're not trying to kick anything, We just want you to lift and work the outside of your glutes and the outside of your leg, okay?
Right.
This is great for any child too, you know, have your kids join you, you know, yeah. Have your spouse join you. And you can repeat this over and again. Get a kitchen timer and you can, you know, go for about 3 minutes of repeating those three exercises.
These three, go through them several times?
Yep. So if you're going hard enough, at this point, your heart rate might be up, which is a good thing.
Mine is.
That's a good thing. But once you're done, you have to cool down, all right? The body, you're still burning calories, but you want to cool down just to reduce any risk of injury, okay? So my favorite exercise, one of them, is taking your right leg over your left and reaching down. Hold for about 10 seconds. These are called static exercises. Static exercises all the way up, okay? And switch. A good way to stretch out your arms from those bicep curls and those shoulder presses. 3, 2, 1, up.
And you get that stretch through
your legs. You get the stretch of your hamstrings and your quads.
Your quads, which okay? Just been working.
So there you go. You got a nice combination. Challenge yourself, you know, and you need to work up a sweat. That's what we need to do every day. 30 minutes. We could do it.
Absolutely. Yep. 30 minutes and we don't have to do it all at once. You could do one of these in the morning and another set at night.
There you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
Great.
You're very welcome.
Trying to lower your cholesterol? Ordering a different sandwich for lunch might help. A 2009 UK study compared the effectiveness of two whole grains, wheat and rye, on lowering cholesterol levels. The study found that rye was more effective in lowering blood cholesterol levels. So when you are at the lunch counter next, ask for a lettuce and tomato sandwich on rye. This small change could make a big difference. Choosing whole grain rye bread is another ageless advantage.
Now for the questions that you've sent to me via Facebook, text, phone and email. I've received an email from Marissa. She says, I have an 8-month-old boy who is still breastfed and taking some solids. I want to give him soy products such as tofu or a soy smoothie. I've heard that soy has feminine hormones that are not good for young boys. Is that true? Well, Marissa, what you've heard is true. There are plant compounds in soy that bind to estrogen receptors, but they bind and cause a relatively weak impact compared with our own body's estrogen. A moderate intake of soy is quite healthy for boys and girls when it's not excessive, of course. For men, it reduces the risk of prostate cancer. For women, it reduces the risk of breast cancer. However, for a tiny baby who's not weaned and is drinking only soy milk all day, there are some concerns that they may get too much of an estrogen effect. However, this hasn't been clearly proven to be a problem, and many babies here in the United States are raised on soy infant formula. That said, what you're asking to do is just to add small amounts of soy products to your boy's diet, and I would encourage you to do that. I don't see it as being a problem at all. Another caller asked, how do I lose belly fat? Well, unfortunately, we have to lose the fat from all over, but if you reduce stress and reduce processed foods, you know, the whites in your diet, like white sugar and white flour and all of those things, then you will lose it much more easily from your midsection, from the belly. Someone else called, I am 50 years old, my hair is falling out, is this due to the menopause and can I do anything about it? Well, yes, it's probably a response to changing hormone levels. Another big reason for hair loss is stress. So, what do you need to do? Be sure to take plenty of good exercise, eat a healthy diet, get adequate omega-3 fats like chia seeds, flax seeds, walnuts. Perhaps take a multivitamin and multi-mineral. If you think your diet may be deficient, be sure you get enough vitamin D. And if the hair loss is severe, perhaps you should go and see your doctor to get a checkup, including a thyroid hormone level. Thanks for those questions. Remember, you can call any time to leave your health question for me. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And to text, or if you're calling from overseas, the number's 301-960-5144. You can also leave your question on our Facebook page. Now let's head down to the grocers. Bok choy, or Chinese cabbage, is a favourite oriental brassica that's been around for eons. It finds its way into soups, stir fries, appetizers and main dishes. It has a light sweet flavour and a really crispy texture. And a whole cup of cooked bok choy has only 20 calories. Since you could use all of those calories chewing and digesting it, you should think of it as a superfood for weight loss. And at the same time, it's rich in vitamin C, B vitamins, iron, as well as vitamin K, calcium, and magnesium. Those are all good for building strong bones. I like to fry a little fresh ginger for a minute, add sliced stems, let them cook for a minute, and then add the chopped leaves. Within 2 minutes, it's ready to serve. Bon appetit. Yum, my favourite section in the supermarket. Dr. Dean Ornish has directed clinical research for 35 years through the Preventive Medicine Research Institute, which he founded. Apart from research into heart disease, his research team have also looked at prostate cancer and epigenetics. Because prostate cancer can be very slow growing and the treatment is rather aggressive, so the disease may be just monitored rather than actually being treated. I asked Dr. Ornish to share his findings with this early stage type of indolent prostate cancer.
Well, we actually did two studies. The first one was a randomized trial of men with early stage prostate cancer who decided not to be treated for reasons unrelated to the study. It used to be called watchful waiting. And then we could randomly divide them into two groups to see what the changes of lifestyle, the effects of lifestyle changes alone were. And what we found is that the people who made these changes, their prostate cancer slowed or stopped or even reversed compared to the ones who didn't. It was the first and still the only randomized trial showing that lifestyle changes alone can beneficially influence the progression of prostate cancer.
Why is it the only study that's tried this? Because many men undergo watchful waiting or active surveillance when they have low-grade prostate cancer.
It's true, and I'm surprised that there haven't been more to look at that, because especially now that the studies are coming out showing that for most men, for 48 out of 49 men, the surgery, the radiation don't really help them. They don't prolong life. They don't really prevent the metastasis of the disease. And so a lot of people end up having treatment that they don't need because the only alternative is, quote, doing nothing. And so many want to do something about it. And we're saying instead of doing nothing or having treatments that may maim you in the most personal ways by causing you to be incontinent, wearing diapers, and can't having sex, there's a third alternative, which is to change lifestyle. And it's the same lifestyle changes that we found could reverse heart disease. In a subsequent study, in the Geminal study, we found that these same lifestyle changes actually changed your genes, turning on the good genes, particularly turning off the genes that cause, for example, prostate cancer in men, breast cancer in women, colon cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and other things like that. Hundreds of them in just 8 weeks.
So how many genes were changed?
We found that over 500 genes were changed, turning on the good genes, down-regulating or turning off the bad genes. And it's just another example of how dynamic our bodies are. And more recently, we published the first study showing that even our telomeres get longer, the ends of our chromosomes that control aging. As our telomeres get longer, our lives get longer. This is still now the only intervention, in this case lifestyle, that's been shown to make telomeres longer.
So
the more we look, the more we find to see how beneficial these simple changes can be.
So we've always seen it, telomeres just shorten as we age, and we've accepted that that's the norm and we can't change that.
That's right.
Why did you think to look at those?
Well, if bad things make them shorter, maybe good things make them longer. So I figured, let's find out. And that's what we found. And so it's just an example that when you change your lifestyle in these healthy ways, every metric that we look at, whether it's your heart disease, your prostate cancer, your diabetes, your telomere length, your gene expression, your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your weight, get better. And the more you change, the more you improve. We found, for example, the more people change their lifestyle, the longer their telomeres got. And to me, that's part of the value of research, is it can reframe what's possible for people and give many people new hope and new choices. Our website, ornish.com, has copies of all of these studies, as well as lots of information, recipes, downloadable meditations, and so on. It's all free.
So you want to go to www.ornish.com to find all that information.
That's right. O-R-N-I-S-H.
Thanks. Now, you're saying that these prostate cancer patients went through this, they just made the same lifestyle changes as your cardiac group did.
Correct.
So go through those four things again, just in case somebody didn't catch the first half of this show.
Sure. It's four components. What we eat, essentially a whole foods, plant-based diet. How we respond to stress, very simple meditation and yoga-based techniques for managing stress. Moderate exercise, walking a half hour a day. And spending more time with your friends and family and loved ones.
Now, for the prostate cancer, you've also looked at soy, haven't you? And what have you found about soy? Or what are your recommendations about soy for these
people? I think soy in moderation for most people is a good idea. Soy is what binds to the estrogen receptors. So it's what's called a phytoestrogen because it looks enough like estrogen that it'll bind to the receptor, but it only weakly stimulates it. And it keeps the regular estrogen from binding. It's like putting in a key in a lock that doesn't really open it, but it keeps the regular key from going in. And estrogen predisposes to cancer, too much of it, because it stimulates cell growth and proliferation. And so part of the reason why moderate soy may help to prevent both prostate cancer in men and breast cancer in women is that it blocks the estrogen receptor and only weakly stimulates it.
Now you say, you very specifically say moderate soy. Give us some guidelines around what that might look like.
Yeah, it's just, you know, having some soy instead of meat, for example, is a good choice. I would avoid taking the protein powders that are based on soy. I think you can get too much of it, and for some people that can be a problem. But just eating as part of your diet, you know, the way that you find it in Chinese food, for example, you know, broccoli and tofu or things like that, I think that the net is a beneficial one.
And using soy milk where normally you'd use dairy milk.
That's right. Then I think you get a double benefit there too. Because you're not eating, you're offering it as a replacement for foods that are generally not very helpful, like meat, for example.
Soy milk, a double benefit. That sounds good to me. We're going to delve into the details of Dr. Ornish's program right after the break, so don't go away.
All day long, I solve problems. It's nuts and bolts and grease. And I love it. But at the end of the day, I think about the world's problems. I wonder why we're all here and how it will end. And I found something that makes sense of it all. It takes the nuts and bolts of history and paints a bigger picture. Now, I have hope.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
David had some very good excuses to avoid physical activity. Watch him. It's inspiring.
Yes, I was born crippled, but I spent the first 15 years under doctor's care and many operations from the knees on down to the tip of my little toes. Growing up with that physical handicap, it was always a challenge to walk. And I was one of those kids that I didn't think I was that bad, but I was usually picked last or not picked at all. It's left its mark all my life. But I look forward to walking, where before it always was kind of a struggle. I had to do it because I knew it was good for me. But now I look forward to going out. I'm going to go for a walk. Come on. And I have my little guy here, and that gives me an excuse because I have to walk him. He needs exercise. The getting started and the stopping are the two bad things about walking, because you're stiff when you start and you're loosened up while you're walking and you're stiff when you quit. But it's worth the walk. It really is, and I really enjoy it. I think I'm in pretty good shape for 75. I really do. People say, oh, you don't look that old, but I'm sure a lot of them just say that to be nice. But I don't feel 75 mentally. Like I tell everybody, I'm still about 13, 14 years old. And I honestly hope that doesn't change. You know, I have enough life in me at my age where I just enjoy doing what I do. And I'm not tired of doing it. And I'm excited about doing other things. What I do here is, you see,
some of my paintings. I've got so many paintings, I've got a lot of them put away, but I've got a lot of ribbons. I've had a couple best of divisions, no best of shows. But this is my favorite. That's an acrylic. When I first started getting into acrylic. I've had my knees replaced. That was the last thing that I had done. And I'm still out there, 75, walking. And I feel great. And and all the guys that wouldn't let me play with them, I'm still having a great time.
going on 14, that's my idea of a great retirement. Today our interview is with Dr. Ornish, physician consultant to President Clinton since 1993. He's actually helped Bill Clinton reverse his heart disease and add years to his life too. Before the break, we were discussing prostate cancer, so I asked him what the optimal diet is for a man who already has prostate cancer.
Well, see, that's the nice thing about it. It's the same lifestyle program for prostate cancer, from heart disease, for diabetes, for changing your genes, for making your telomeres longer. To the degree that you move in that direction, there's a corresponding benefit. Now, if you have a life-threatening disease already, like diagnosed prostate cancer or heart disease, that's more the pound of cure. So you really want to make an optimal change in your diet and lifestyle. And for most people, that would be a whole foods, plant-based diet. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, soy products, avoiding meat, chicken, even fish, if you're trying to reverse it. The same is true for exercise. You want to exercise a half an hour a day, preferably at least walking. Do an hour a day of yoga and meditation, and spend more time with your friends and family and loved ones.
Now, let's look at the love and support aspect. How important is that? Everyone thinks that's a bit touchy-feely, and you know, why would Medicare want to invest in that? Mm-hmm. But you feel it's important?
Well, it's not just what I feel, it's what we've shown and others have shown, that it's perhaps the most important part of the program. And yes, it is touchy-feely, but we are touchy-feely creatures. We're creatures of community. That's how we've survived as a species, by taking care of each other. And study after study have shown that people who are lonely and depressed and isolated are 3 to 10 times more likely to get sick and die prematurely than those who have a sense of love and connection and community. In part because you're more likely to abuse yourselves in healthy and unhealthy ways. You're more likely to smoke and overeat and drink too much and work too hard, because it helps people deal with that pain and their loneliness and their depression. They say things like, I've got 20 friends in this pack of cigarettes and they're always there for me and nobody else is. You're going to take away my 20 friends? What are you going to give me? Or they eat when they're depressed, or they work too hard, or they spend too much time playing video games, or they get drunk or abuse other drugs and so on. And so by giving people a community that feels safe, then they're much more likely to make lifestyle choices that are life-enhancing than ones that are self-destructive. But even above and beyond that, just the sense of community itself is healing. You know, even the word healing comes from the root to make whole. Yoga, to yoke, to unite, to bring together. What brings us together is really healing. And many people don't have the social networks that they used to have 50 years ago. They don't have an extended family they see regularly. They don't have a neighborhood with 2 or 3 generations of people who grew up and are living together. They don't have a church or synagogue. They don't have a job that feels secure. And we all know that these things affect the quality of our lives, but they actually affect our survival to a much larger degree than we had once realized. It's really what enables us to get such high levels of adherence over long periods of time.
So any suggestions? You point out that we do live in a society where we have become disconnected,
yes,
from each other. How do you encourage your patients and your experimental groups to actually create that and sustain that?
Well, awareness is always the first step in healing, and that's part of the value of research, is to show us how much these things really matter, not just in our quality of our lives, but in even our survival. And if we understand that the time that we spend with our friends and family is one of the most important determinants of how well we live as well as how long we live, then we can reprioritize our time. Instead of saying, oh, that's the fun stuff, that's a luxury I'll do after I do all the important stuff, you realize this is the important stuff, spending time with our friends and family. And then we can make that more of a priority and realize that it's really making an important difference.
I like how you say there's a time for this, a time for that, and a time for the other. And so this is also about time management.
In a way. But again, our time management is based on what we think is valuable. And if we understand how important these touchy-feely things are, that the time we spend with our friends and family is the most important determinant of our health and our well-being, then it becomes easier to justify spending that time in that way.
Give us some scientific data around the meditation aspect.
Well, a number of studies have shown that meditation is a way of quieting down our mind and body to put us in a state of relaxation that's even more relaxing, deeper than sleep. It's sometimes called a wakeful hypometabolic state. It means you're awake, but your metabolism is slowed down and allows your body to begin healing. Meditation is just the practice of putting your focus on one thing. I mean, your viewers can meditate. If they just close their eyes, observe their breath when it comes in, observe their breath when it goes out, your mind will wander, you'll start thinking about something else, just bring it back to observing your breath. That's all meditation is. It's the simplest thing to teach, but it's very hard to keep your mind focused because it tends to wander, and that's okay. Just keep bringing it back over and over, and what happens is your mind begins to quiet down, and you begin to feel more peaceful. And to remind yourself at those moments that the peace didn't come because the meditation brought that to you, but rather that's our natural state, is to be peaceful and happy if we don't disturb it. And what meditation does is it keeps us, at least temporarily, from disturbing our natural inner peace and well-being. And when we get grounded in that, then we can go out in the world and accomplish even more, but without getting so stressed and without getting sick in the process.
Now, your lecture today, you mentioned that 8 weeks of meditation changed genes.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more.
Well, this was a study that was done by Jeff Dusick, who looked at non-meditators, people who meditated for 8 weeks, and people who were more advanced meditators. And they found that same dose-response effect. The more you meditate, the more it improved your genes for the better. But 8 weeks of meditation alone changed hundreds of genes. And so people think, well, exercise, you know, you're really out there doing something, and you got to eat, it's just a question of what. The meditation, it's like, oh, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. And they don't realize what a powerful intervention it is and how quickly those improvements can occur, even on a cellular or on a genetic level.
So there you have it. What you eat, how you respond to stress, how much activity you have, how much love and support you get have been proven to make all the difference in the world. So start the transition to a healthful, whole food, plant-based diet today. Find three spots in your day to walk for just 10 minutes. Identify and address your stressors and nurture relationships with those who can love and support you. And you'll have lower blood pressure, lower weight, lower cholesterol, less chronic disease, less depression, hostility, and more vitality. Dr. Ornish has the evidence. If you want to know more, then check out www.ornish.com. Thanks for joining us today on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.